Right, what's up, everybody? This is San. We're live. Obviously, we're going to be breaking down the UFC 270 main card today, looking at some of the fights on there. Before we get into it, I want to talk first. There's a big fight announcement. Glover Teixeira is going to have his first title defense against Jiří Procházka. And I'd be lying if I said I wasn't a little bit scared of Glover in this one, man. Glover is also like, I know that he's made his way back to the title and everything, but like, you got to feel like a fight against Jan Blachowicz was kind of like the perfect recipe for him to win the belt, right? A fight against a guy like Jiří Procházka, dangerous. I think Jiří Procházka represents like those guys at light heavyweight. Like, you know, to me, he's like the total package, man. He can do everything. The way he knocked out Dominic Reyes was fucking nasty. He's just got, he's got real talent, real skill, and his cardio seems to hold up too, right? He gets into wars and stuff and he takes chances. I don't really like, just initially, like without going and watching film and thinking about how they're going to match up, I don't like how Glover Teixeira matches up against Jiří Procházka. I think Jiří Procházka is dangerous. I think he's kind of represents what the future of that division looks like. Like I said, he's a complete martial artist and he's dangerous as fuck. So that's some pretty big news. Other than that, yeah, I kind of want to get into just breaking this thing down. Obviously, the pay-per-view price, this is going to be the first one in 2022, and it's gone up to $75, right? UFC, when did they make the deal with ESPN? Like 2018? I think it was 60, and then it climbed up to 65, and then it climbed up to 70, and now it's at 75. And man, if you're an MMA fan, it feels like you're like punished almost for watching it, right? You got to buy ESPN Plus to even watch the UFC fights, right? So you have to pay for a yearly subscription to that. And then if you want to buy the pay-per-views, you also have to have a subscription to ESPN Plus. They put everything behind a paywall. Like, they put some fights on ESPN, like on cable and stuff that you can see, but a lot of them go to ESPN Plus. So it's like, fuck, I don't know. It feels like one of the only sports where you get like punished a little bit for being a fan, essentially. So, but I mean, the reality of it is, though, is, and I think like the UFC knows shit like this, like the reality of it is people are going to pay that, right? So, I mean, shit, what are you going to do? And a lot also, like the people who aren't going to pay it are just going to fucking stream it anyway, right? So, I mean, what can you do? It sucks. It's shitty. I think it's outrageously priced, but, and I would be so much more comfortable paying that much for a pay-per-view if you would get evidence that like it was going back to the fighters, or like fighter pay was increasing because of it or something, right? Like it would be so much easier to swallow that pill if you knew that the fighters were getting something back for it. But according to Dana White, ESPN makes the decision. So I don't know if that has any, I don't know how that shit works. I just know it's fucking annoying that you have to pay $75 to watch a fight tonight. But anyway, I digress. Let's move on and start talking about this main card. So pretty good prelims. We're not going to break those ones down. Opening things up, Kay Hansen versus Jasmine Jazad. Oh, man, I'm going to fuck these names up. Jasmine Jazad. Jazad. I can't even say it, guys. Jasuda Vickius. Silviana Juarez versus Vanessa Dimopoulos. Oh, my God, these names. These names are fucking with me. I haven't looked. I mean, I know who's on the card, but I don't. I haven't really taken a close look at it. Matt Frivola versus Gennaro Valdez. Tony Gravely versus Simon Oliveira. Jack De La Maddalena versus Pete Rodriguez. And Rayoni Barcelos versus Victor Henry. Barcelos is a big favorite. Barcelos is really fucking good. Barcelos has a win over one of the guys we're going to talk about. Saeed Nurmagomedov. So he's definitely somebody to watch out for on the prelims. But the first fight on the main card is, and this main card has got shifted around a lot. Like there was Rodolfo Vieira who was supposed to fight on this. They fell out. Some other ones like maybe Charles Jourdain, I think, fell off. So the first fight is going to be Michael Morales versus Trevin Giles at welterweight. Now, Michael Morales is a guy who made his debut in the Contender Series, and he was a big underdog in that fight, and he ended up winning. He had a great second round. First round was very close. And the third round, close as well, but a lot of scrambles back and forth in the grappling and stuff. But I felt like Michael Morales, he finished very strong at the end, right? The odds makers have this fight sitting at like minus 110, which means it's a pick'em fight. And I agree a little bit, but Trevin Giles has a lot of UFC experience, right? Like fighting guys like James Krause. And the moments where you really see him struggle are not so much in the striking department, but more in the wrestling department, right? He gets taken down, pushed up against the cage a little bit. Based on what we've seen from Michael Morales, I think he's a little green around the gills. This is going to be his UFC debut. It's not against an easy opponent. And Trevin Giles, I think he has a little bit of an advantage in this fight just because he comes like straight down the pipe with the shots a little bit more. I think if you watch Michael Morales, like even though he was landing successfully in his Dana White Contender Series fight, he has a tendency to load up on his shots and he overextends on them a lot. And I just think that the footwork and everything, Giles is going to be in position to take advantage of that kind of stuff, right? I also think that Giles has a really nice jab. And once he starts getting that jab going, it sets up other combos and stuff, right? Now, like I said, we've seen Giles struggle. He gets a little, in my opinion, he gets a little arrogant with the stand-up sometimes. Like you saw it in the fight against Duplessis, right? Drops his hands a little bit and charged in a little bit recklessly and got knocked the fuck out, man. And struggled with the wrestling a little bit in that fight as well, right? So we've seen, but in the fight against James Krause, his hands look very good. Likes to primarily box, carries his hands low, a lot of moving around. So there are opportunities for Morales to land. But I think that unless Morales, since his last fight, has cleaned up loading up on all of his shots, I think that Giles is going to kind of be able to use his veteran prowess and pick him apart. Odds makers have this, like I said, it's a pick 'em fight, but in my mind, I'm leaning towards Giles a little bit just based on experience. That's, to me, is like this Morales kid is like me, 223 years old. To me, experience is one of the most important things, guys. You see it, I mean, all the time, like being in these big spots and fighting these guys and having gone through your UFC debut already, like that's important. You know a little bit more about how to manage your workload. And yeah, I just think that Giles is going to be a little bit too sharp on the feet. I think he's going to be a little bit more technical setting his stuff up. He's going to just be a little bit quicker getting there. Like I said, there are opportunities for Morales to land. And I can see how if you're watching him, he's clearly dangerous, right? Like clearly he hits hard. He throws his leg kicks in there well and stuff like that. That might be something he can use to slow Giles down. But all in all, I just think the biggest thing for me is the loading up. I think that Giles' movement, the way he throws the jab out there, he's going to start capitalizing on that. And I think he picks up, like, honestly, a pretty dominant decision winner. I think he gets a finish in this one. It's not that, like I said, it's not that Michael Morales doesn't have talent. It's not that I don't think he has promise. I just think that this is a tough UFC debut. And Giles has seen some pretty high-level guys. He was riding for a while there before his most recent loss. I think he was riding like a 3-fight winning streak. He has a lot of confidence, right, in his hands and stuff. I think I'm going with Trevin Giles on this one. Like I said, it's a pick-em fight. So to me, I'm going to almost always, unless somebody is like super special, like you can tell by watching them that they have like, ooh, like this is what we're looking for, right? Like in a top prospect. I'm going to lean towards the guy with experience most of the time because it's like there are so many factors that you have to take into consideration, like how exhausting the grappling and stuff is and how you have to pace yourself in order to have energy throughout the 3 rounds and the adrenaline dump that comes from being in your first UFC fight. All those reasons are why I'm taking Giles. There's nothing that specifically, like I said, other than the loading up and the overextending on stuff, this is kind of a tough fight to pick, right? Because they both get a little bit like wild with their strikes sometimes. But I think for the most part, Giles keeps it a little clean and works the jab better. All right, next we have a bantamweight bout between Cody Stamann and Saeed Nurmagomedov. No relation to Khabib, but Saeed's a big favorite coming into this one. And probably, honestly, for good reason. I mean, if you look at his striking, you think about all these guys from Dagestan, right? Dagestan, right? And they you think about grappling a lot, like you think about Habib type stuff, right? And Saeed Nurmagomedov is kind of the opposite of that. I mean, he likes to stand and he kind of like takes this approach where he picks you apart. He throws a very wide variety of attacks. He goes to the body, he goes to the head, he goes to the legs, he throws his kicks in there, mixes them in nicely. Does like to throw a lot of spinning stuff, and we talked about this on the last podcast when we were breaking this down. There are moments for them, right? But you saw that in Nurmagomedov's fight, we mentioned Barcelos earlier, right? How he lost to Barcelos. He lost essentially because he was throwing spinning shit and it allowed Barcelos to take him down, especially in the 3rd round. Now, that being said, Saeed Nurmagomedov finished guys like, oh my God, what's the guy's name? I got to look. Ricardo Ramos with the spinning back kick, right? So when you land stuff like that and you get a finish like that in the UFC, you have good reason to believe in your spinning techniques, but you guys got to think if you rely on that shit and you're going up against somebody who's a good wrestler like Cody Stamann is, that can be dangerous because Stamann's also, this is another thing to consider with Cody Stamann. We were talking earlier about like the experience edge that Trevin Giles has. It's, man, Cody Stamann's fought some good fucking guys, man. Aljamain Sterling, the current bantamweight champion, paper champion, as some people like to say, right? He's fought Aljamain Sterling, Jimmy Rivera, Merab, and that was a close fight where you saw that like Stamann's a very good wrestler, man. He just Merab was a little bit sharper with the technique on the feet and stuff and timing his takedowns and things like that. This honestly is a tough fight to pick, in my opinion. I think that Nurmagomedov has a very clear and distinct advantage on the feet. Nurmagomedov is very good at maintaining his distance and range. He's very good at holding the range and not letting people close in on him. And if you watch a lot of Stamann's fights, he likes to fight at a distance kind of, and I think he relies on these explosive kind of movements a little bit and closing the distance off quickly to set up his takedowns and stuff. He is pretty good at catching kicks and landing his takedowns off the kicks, right, where they catch that kick. A lot of wrestlers do that shit. Catch the kick, punch, boom, takedown. But on the flip side, Saeed Nurmagomedov is, when he gets taken down, generally he's very good at getting back to his feet. His wrestling defense is usually on point. He's a great striker, like I said. This is a hard fight to pick. And when I have tough fights to pick, like, okay, I think that Saeed Nurmagomedov probably wins the decision in this one. I think he wins a hard-fought decision. I think this is a closer fight than people think. But if I'm looking at the odds, Cody Stamann, at least on the U.S. Well, let me get on DraftKings and see what the live odds are. Cody Stamann right now is a plus 165 underdog. To me, it's worth putting a little bit of money on him just because I think the fight is closer than the odds are implying. Like, and again, I'm mainly thinking that stuff because you see in a lot of Saeed's fights, Nurmagomedov's fights, he favors that spinning shit, man. And when you're fighting a high-level wrestler, the last thing you want to do is expose your back in some way, right? I mean, we talk about it with guys like Bill Algeo and Brandon Royval. And it happens to them, right? They get their back taken frequently. In almost every fight, you can count on something like that happening. Because when you throw that kick, you expose yourself to the takedown. You can't. It's hard to defend. You're off balance. Whenever you throw a kick, you have to withdraw it. And if you spin and you miss with it, or even if you connect sometimes, it's like, man, you're just taking a risk. And I think it's something, if Saeed Nurmagomedov is smart, I think we're going to see, he might throw some spinning like punches and elbows and stuff, but I really specifically think he needs to stay away from the spinning kicks. I think if he stays away from that shit, if he can keep his back off the octagon, keep circling, hold the range, which he's pretty fucking good at, I think Nurmagomedov, I think he just kind of picks Stamann apart over the course of the fight. I also think that if he does get pushed up against the cage and it's just like, I don't have a lot of confidence in Cody Stamann's ability to land with his hands, right? And a lot of the times in order to land takedowns, if they're telegraphed, it's easy for your opponent to defend, right? So I think the fact that Nurmagomedov is going to be able to pick him apart a little bit, make it hard for Cody Stamann to land, there aren't going to be a lot of shots that are easily available for Cody Stamann to take. So I'm leaning Nurmagomedov, man. Like I said, if he throws some spinning shit and he exposes his back to Cody, he could end up on the ground for an entire round if Cody gets him down there. Cody might be the strongest wrestler he's faced yet. But unless he makes mistakes, I think this is a very winnable fight for Saeed Nurmagomedov. So yeah, I'm taking Saeed in this one, but I'm going to sprinkle a little money on Cody Stamann just because of the odds. And you don't know how that shit's going to play out. Like if Cody is able to push it up against the cage, make this a gritty fight, he might land some takedowns and just steal a couple rounds. So we'll see. We'll see. Good fight, in my opinion, though. I think this one's a little bit closer than people are thinking it's going to be. All right. The next fight is Michel Pereira versus Andre Fiallo. Fiallo? Yeah. Man, Fiallo making his UFC debut here. He's got some big fights on his record, though. Like, he fought Chris Curtis. Granted, he lost, right? Knocked out James Vick. I mean, after James Vick got knocked out like four times in a row in the UFC, he got knocked out by this guy. This is, I think, the last fight on James Vick's, the last fight of his career. And he knocked him out pretty bad. Little flat-footed at times. And if you watch his fight against Dos Santos Jr. in LFA, that fight makes me think that he's really going to struggle against Pereira. I can't talk today, man. Michel Pereira. I think that, like, Pereira just moves a lot, right? And he has that, like, kind of capoeira style, and he's jumping around a lot, doing all these fucking backflips and stuff. But I really think that, like, since Andre Fiala likes to stand like a little bit flat-footed at times. I think the movement of Perea is going to give him problems. So I would expect that Michel Perea gets a finish in this one. And also another thing that concerns me about Andre is if you watch his fights, we've seen him gas quite a bit in his fights. You know, you see him get like in the Dos Santos fight at the end of it, like his eyes were literally closed. He's like leaning on his opponent while he's getting pushed up against the cage. Like both guys were tired, but Andre was way more tired. And I think also the kicks and stuff and the movement of Dos Santos gave him a little bit of trouble. Andre Fiala is a guy who likes to march you down and throw big shots. And when the guy fucking throws and when he connects, he has power, man. This is a fight where Michel Pereira is going to have to be careful, right? Like he can't get cracked with this guy because he can hit, he can knock you the fuck out. But I just think that Pereira is going to move too much for him and it's going to exhaust Fiala. I expect Pereira to get a finish in this fight. I think this is a pretty one-sided matchup, if I'm being honest. I just don't think that Fiala, he can switch stances and stuff. Like you'll see him switch stances pretty frequently and he throws some leg kicks and stuff in there. That might slow Michel Pereira down. But I just don't see Andre Fiala having the gas tank or the footwork to get Michel Pereira up against the cage and to keep him there. I don't think he's going to be able to cut him off like he wants to. And Michel Pereira is just going to be able to move around. And I think this fight, honest to God, I think it's so one-sided that you might see a little bit of Michel Pereira playing with his food. You know what I mean? Like kind of like how he does that when he's feeling confident. I think you're going to see a little bit of that. I think this will be one of those fights where he feels confident enough that he's going to be showing off some of like the flash and all that shit. I think this is, I don't want to say an easy debut for him, but just based on what I've seen from Fiala, I don't have a lot of confidence in him pulling this off. I don't think he'll be able to, like I said, cut Pereira off to be able to land the shots. And I think he struggles in this one, man. I'm taking Pereira by finish, like second round. I could see him knocking him out or I could see him getting him down and submitting him because, like I said, Fiala gets so tired. And we've seen Pereira get finishes by submission in the UFC before, right? So my money's on Pereira on this one, no doubt. Inside the distance, you might get a little bit of an odds. I don't know what the odds on this one are. I'm guessing they're pretty staggering in favor of Michel Pereira. Give me a second here, guys. My DraftKings thing was pulled up, but let's see. Yeah, minus 280 favorite. Andre Fiala is plus 225. This is one of those ones where I don't think the matchup's close enough to bet money on Andre Fiala. Maybe he pulls it off, but I have like no confidence in it. A much better bet to me would be like Michel Pereira inside the distance. All right, next up we have the flyweight title. We've got the heaviest champions fighting on this card and the lightest champions in the UFC fighting on this card. So we got Brandon Moreno versus Davison Figueiredo. And if you guys have been like watching the press conferences and stuff, I kind of feel like Moreno's in Figueiredo's head. Like he's bouncing around and all this shit, saying all this stuff, swearing at him, blah, 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 and all the in the press conferences. It just, to me, it feels like Moreno has an edge mentally going into this fight. Like Davison Figueiredo feels like he has something to prove or something like that, right? There's also this whole dynamic where Moreno and Henry Cejudo used to be teammates and then they split and then Moreno helped. Who did he help? He helped somebody prepare for Henry Cejudo and now Henry Cejudo's corner and Davison Figueiredo and all this shit, right? But I guess like more important than it, sometimes it's very hard to guess sometimes. Like you could say all that stuff like, oh, Moreno's in Figueiredo's head. He might be, or he might not be. This just might be how Figueiredo's at. I don't know. It's weird sometimes. Sometimes that shit doesn't. Sometimes it does, right? Like sometimes you can tell, like when Conor McGregor fought Jose Aldo, you could just tell that Conor was bugging him. And it feels like Figueiredo is bothered by Moreno a little bit, but I don't know. I don't know if it's enough to impact his performance. Like once you're in there, I don't know, man. To me, the reason I'm going to take Moreno in this fight is because of the improvements that he showed from their first fight where it was a draw and Figueiredo probably should have won because of, I think it was eye pokes or groin strikes. A point got deducted in one of the rounds and Figueiredo ended up, he would have won, but it ended up being a draw, right? He retained his belt, but it's a draw. Moreno comes back and wins, obviously. But if you look at the first fight between Figueiredo and Moreno, Moreno was letting himself get backed up a little bit, staying a little bit too still, getting his head snapped back with the jab a lot, right? But in both of the fights, both the first one and the rematch, there's a common theme, and Brandon Moreno is a better wrestler, right? And Brandon Moreno has some nasty jiu-jitsu too. It's not like he can get you to the ground, but he can also like transition smoothly to take your back and things like that. Clearly he choked Figueiredo out in the second one, right? But anyway, talking about improvements that Moreno made, Moreno was on the back foot a little bit too much. And you could tell that when he came out and fought Figueiredo in the rematch, he had like the confidence, right? He was going first. He was throwing boxing combinations, 1, 2, 3, 4 punches at a time, going to the body, going to the head, mixing it up, pressuring Figueiredo. And to me, the biggest difference maker was throwing more strikes, throwing more combinations and going first, right? Figueiredo, he let Figueiredo fire off on him a little bit too much, back him up, like I said, in that first fight. In the second fight, Moreno came out and looked dominant, man, and the wrestling was still there. And you got to watch out for Figueiredo, man. He's nasty on the ground too. And he's very good at like when you get him to the ground, his takedown, these two got into some great scrambles in both of their fights, right? Figueiredo, if you take him down, is very good at elevating your hips and getting back to his feet. This is, again, another one where I really do think Moreno's going to, I think that he rides that confidence from the last fight and he comes in and looks even better. If I'm being honest, I think he beats up Davis and Figueiredo. I think that, like I said, I just think that he has an advantage in the boxing department, whereas Figueiredo, he kind of is looking to like snap you with that one shot, right? And he's caught Moreno a few times. He's tagged him a few times with some hard shots that definitely bothered Moreno. But I think all in all, I like the frequency and the volume that Moreno throws his hands with. And I like how he mixes things up. I like his ability to wrestle because he can dictate where the fight takes place. Both of them have great jiu-jitsu, but Moreno is definitely the better wrestler, the better person at getting the fight to the mat. And that can matter in a close fight, too, when you need a takedown. Moreno is going to be the one who's more likely to land the takedown. I'm leaning Moreno, but again, at plus 155, man, it's hard not to put a little money on Figueiredo just because of the odds, right? So I'm going Moreno by decision this time. I think Figueiredo is going to come a little bit better prepared. I think it's going to be harder to finish him. I think this is going to be a tough fight, but I just think that you're going to see the championship mentality kind of shine through for Brandon Moreno. I think that his confidence goes up even more from last time. I think Figueiredo is going to be hungry. I think he's been training like a dog to get this belt back. Like, you know, he wants it back, but I just think that there's something about Moreno and the way that he looked in the last fight that I just don't have a lot of confidence picking Figueiredo in this one, right? Like I said, the odds might be, I'm not going to bet on this fight. I don't think Moreno's quite worth, if Moreno was like a minus 140, minus 130, I'd probably throw some money on him, but minus 180, I don't think it's worth it because I think Figueiredo could win, but I'm also not confident enough. Like my gut is just kind of telling me that Moreno's going to beat him up. You know what I mean? Like, I think it'll be a close fight. I think Davis and Figueiredo is going to present challenges just like he did in both of their fights. But I just like I said, to me, it was the fact that Brandon Moreno made a lot of adjustments from their first fight to the next one, right? He made a lot of adjustments. He was pushing forward. He was going first. He was the one initiating the takedowns, pushing the fight up against the cage, closing off the space, throwing combinations. I think all that factors in. And this is a great fight, but I think Moreno beats up on Figueiredo a little bit, right? There are going to be moments maybe where you see Moreno struggle, but I really think Moreno puts it on him. All right. Heavyweight championship. Francis Ngannou versus Ciryl Gane. This fight is... Who's making these odds, right? Like Calvin Kattar last week, plus 180. Francis Ngannou, who... Granted, I know that like he had a boring fight against Derek Lewis, and you watch like Ciryl Gane beat the fuck out of Derek Lewis, right? Like footwork, all this stuff, holding the reins, he's very technical, blah blah blah. But Francis Ngannou lost to Stipe Miocic mainly because he got out wrestled and like was lacking like white belt fundamentals to get back to his feet, right? Then he goes out and has a boring fight against Derek Lewis, starts knocking guys out again, and then he starches Stipe Miocic in the rematch. The greatest heavyweight of all time, like, folded him like a fucking lawn chair. And somehow, Francis Ngannou is a plus 125 underdog tonight. I don't understand it. And I know that there's this training footage that comes out and, like, blah, blah, blah. And people are like, oh, Gane, like, he might have got the better of him here. He's going to be more technical. Francis Ngannou might be the scariest fucking human being that's ever existed. The way he punches people is just fucking different. And when you are in a real fight where it's a fight. It's not fucking training. You're not trying to make each other better. You are in there to win decisively. I I don't think that Ciryl Gane is going to be able to push this thing up against the cage, which I think is a strategy to beat Francis. I think you have to push the fight up against the cage. I don't think Francis is going to allow that to happen. I think his takedown defense is better. And a lot of people are like, oh, well, Ciryl Gane, he's going to outpoint him on the feet. He's going to put him in a shell, and Gane's not going to know what to do. He's going to make him miss. And maybe I am not by any means saying that Ciryl Gane doesn't do that. Maybe he does. Maybe he is that fucking good. But power is the one great equalizer. And when you're wearing those little fucking gloves, man, all he has to do is touch you. His power is so out of this world. I was talking to my wife last night, and I mean, we were drinking a couple beers and shit, right? But like, speaking of, I poured this one. I forgot all about it till right now. But Francis Ngannou is one of those people who, when he fights, he like almost makes me feel like maybe we shouldn't allow this to happen. Like, he hits that fucking hard. I'm like, God, it makes me cringe watching him knock people out. I was in Detroit watching live when he knocked Alistair Overeem out. And after it happened, I was just like, I can't believe that's a real person and not something made in a fucking lab. He is a freak. And I know Gane is way more technical. And I know that Gane probably has he's going to have the advantage in footwork and technical striking, and shots are going to come a little bit straighter. They're not going to loop as much. He's going to be able to move better. His cardio probably holds up a little bit better, but I just don't think it fucking matters. Also, you guys have to consider, like, when Francis Ngannou fought Derek Lewis, like, yes, they were both a little bit gun shy, but those are two guys who, when they trade, it's kind of a matter of who's going to land first. Right. And also, Francis Ngannou was coming off the, like, he has a loss earlier in his career, but the first big loss of his career against Stipe Miocic, right? I mean, he'd been blitzing through everybody in the UFC, and then he runs into Miocic and gets out-wrestled. So he comes into the fight against Lewis a little gun-shy. I still feel like if they both would have let it go, Ngannou would have knocked him out, right? So I think people are watching what Ciryl Gane did to Lewis, but not taking, like, into account, like, when Ngannou was gun-shy, it was also Lewis being gun shy, right? I don't think once Ciryl Gane starts touching Ngannou that he's just going to shell up. Like, I don't think he's going to get gun shy. I think he's going to fucking return fire. Also, if you ever watch Francis's fights, like, when he swings, there's like anger in that motherfucker's face, right? Like, he's the sweetest guy ever off in all the interviews you see him in and stuff. But this is a fight, guys. And I can't see a world where Ngannou doesn't land. And when he lands, it's just, I think Ciryl Gane is great. I think he's probably the champion if Ngannou isn't there, right? Like, I think he's by far the most technical and the best heavyweight. But Francis's power is so, I think Ciryl Gane's getting sent to the fucking upside down tonight. I really do. I just think that, like, if you're going to stand and trade with Francis, it doesn't matter how technical. And you guys saw this a little bit if you watched Deontay Wilder and Tyson Fury. Tyson Fury is a way better boxer in terms of technical stuff than Deontay Wilder, right? But in boxing, you're only throwing your hands around. So you can be a little bit more defensive. The gloves are a little bit bigger, blah, 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 right? And you get the 10 count to get back up. In fighting, that's not there. Like, in fighting, there are going to be more openings for Ngannou to land. And I think when he connects, it's going to fucking rock Ciryl. And we haven't seen that one-punch knockout shit from Ciryl yet. I mean, don't get me wrong. He could absolutely, if they get into exchange and he lands a clean shot on Francis, like, you saw Stipe. Stipe, right before Francis threw the left hook that knocked Stipe out, Stipe wobbled Francis a little bit. But Francis just planted his feet, sat down on the left hook, threw it, and knocked him out on his way in when he got reckless. I just think that at some point Ngannou's going to land, and when he does, I don't know if there's a fucking human being on earth that can stand against it. So my money's on Francis Ngannou tonight, especially at the odds. I can't believe he's not coming out the favorite in this one. Like I said, he starches almost everybody that he's fought except for Derek Lewis and Stipe, but then he starched Stipe in the rematch. He just fucking knocks out everyone, man. Everyone. And Ciryl Gane, if he wants to win this fight, is going to have to stand and trade and fight a kickboxing fight with him and hope to be more technical and avoid the shots. But how long can you do that for? I got Ngannou all day on this one, man. Especially at those odds, I'm going to be throwing some money on Ngannou for sure. I think is, like I said, power is the one great equalizer, and I'm taking him, man. But all right, guys. Anyway, we just walked through the five fights on the main card. You gonna stream? No, I'm not gonna stream the main card. But don't pick Ngannou. I mean, I think, look, Ciryl Gane could win tonight. I just think that his power is unlike anything we've ever seen, man. Like, I think when he lands, it's just fucking different. I think that it's inevitable almost. And I really think Ngannou gets it done tonight. And I can't believe the odds are in favor of Gane. But anyway, guys, that's going to wrap this one. I always fucking hit my head on this thing. That's going to wrap this one up. I'm going to hop off here, go watch some football. I think the games have already started. So kill some time until the prelims kick off. And yeah, guys, thank you for tuning in. I appreciate it. If you guys don't mind, if you enjoyed the content, hit the subscribe button. Let me know who you think's going to win the fights, and I'll catch you all next time. Bye-bye.